Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County, not just wine country, but farm country. And today, I'm talking to one of my favorite people who I get to talk to from time to time on this show. She is currently at Purcell Murray, which is a wonderful place in South San Francisco that showcases really fabulous high-end cooking stuff. I mean, whether it be a brilliant stove or all the things that go with it. And I've been there many times, but they're very generous people, and they often host special gatherings for food folks and often host book parties. And I'm talking to Marlena Spieler, the queen of all things delicious, while she's there celebrating the publication of the new edition of Joy of Cooking. Welcome to At the Table, Marlena.
Oh, thank you, Clark. It's so great to be here. It's just so great. I could spend the whole time just saying it's so great to be here.
Well, it's good to be in the Bay Area right now. I mean, we've been through fire. We've been through flood. We've been through evacuations. We've been through electrical turnoffs. But in the meantime, we gather over the table, at the table, at the farm stand. And right now, you're celebrating Joy of Cooking. How are the new young authors? I mean, they get younger and younger as we still survive, right?
Yes.
Is Joy one of your books on the shelf?
It really is. You know, it was the first book I fell in love with and cooked from. And this issue, one reason it's really good, it's got the same layout as the one I fell in love with.
Right.
But it has new things in it, like Korean green onion pancakes.
Yum.
And, you know, doenjang stew.
Yeah.
And as I was just in Korea, it was like, bye, all the Joy of Cooking people are walking out. Bye.
Bye.
They're waving to you.
I'm waving back.
Bye, you guys. Mwah.
See, the thing about cuisine, the thing about cookery, the thing about loving food is that some things continue and new things are always added. You can never know anything, everything, which is wonderful. I was gathering my Thanksgiving dinner from a local grocery that I like very much called Oliver's. I have a limitation on my cooking right now because I had this little broken ankle situation going on. So I ordered all these foods, organic turkey, all these different wonderful side dishes. When we were there in Windsor, which is one of the towns that our wonderful firefighters saved from the Kincade Fire, miraculously. They worked their heads off. They were amazing. But I wanted to support it, and I went, and while we were waiting for things to be gathered, we went into their little tavern, and we had skirt steak Korean tacos. And I got to tell you, they were absolutely delicious. If you make good ingredients and take different flavors from different cuisines, you know, the result is often absolutely wonderful. All right, so Marlena, you're visiting as always. You have family here. You're originally from or lived a long time in Sacramento, California. You've been traveling a great deal all over the world. One of the things you're celebrating right now is something that we just let go of seasonally here, but never want to let go of, and that is a delicious tomato. I often tell people that in the wintertime, sometimes we crave tomatoes even more. And a great tomato sauce is often made with, you know, we call them canned tomatoes. They're preserved tomatoes. They're put up tomatoes. Not as romantic in the terminology when they come in a can, unless the picture's really pretty. But in fact, they are absolutely delicious. And one of the stories you're telling these days is how European tomatoes are a perfect element in any pantry for particularly this warming, cozy, cold outside time of the year.
It's so true. They're so delicious. All I have to do, you were talking about tomatoes, and I was imagining them even just straight from the can. I made a pasta fagioli the other night, and I was taking them out and then just nibbling on bits of tomatoes and going, bits of European tomatoes, because not all canned tomatoes are the same. And it was just so good. It's so good. You can't see anything more like this is it. We were talking Korean.
Yeah.
And we were talking tomatoes.
Yes.
And I was just in Korea promoting European tomatoes and dishes that straddle both cuisines and how people loved it so much. it just worked so well. You know, spaghetti with kimchi.
Yeah, it's
and tomato sauce.
How would that not be good?
Just so good. And what was that? Well, there were several things we were making. Oh, I made shakshuka.
Tell everybody.
Instead of peppers, I used kimchi.
Tell everybody
and
what
the
that
Korean,
is.
Tell, explain. The Koreans went crazy.
Tell.
And so did I. It was really good.
You crazy is fine. What? Explain to people what that is.
Shakshuka. Well, shakshuka. If you told me shakshuka, you know, would be this famous dish and people all over would be wanting to, I would have said, oh, come on. Because really, it's a Middle Eastern dish. It's peppers, it's tomatoes, and it's eggs.
Ooh.
And olive oil, garlic. I mean, that is basically it. And it is one of the best dishes you will ever eat. It's so good. Who knew it was good with kimchi? But it's all about the tomatoes and the peppers. So good.
You know, it's one of the, it sounds like it's one of those things that, particularly in Sonoma County, at the end of the season, we had just so many tomatoes because we had a very wet year, as you may remember. We actually had floods last year. But the crops of gramercy and apples were so heavy on the trees. It went on and on and on for weeks. By the way, folks, I'm talking to Marlena Spieler, one of my favorite food writers and presenters, I think we say in Europe, anywhere. She's just been to Korea. I love seeing your Facebook and your Instagram, and there you are popping up making spaghetti and meatballs with kimchi in South Korea, in China, and you know, if they just let you cater the United Nations and NATO, everybody would be in a better mood.
It's so wonderful. It makes people so happy. And with tomatoes, it's good for you. It's like so good for you. And especially when they're preserved just well, and the European ones are. And by the way, yes, I do consult for the EU tomato people, but I really do it because I love them, and I really want everyone to eat them, and I eat them all the time. I'm convinced that's why I'm still alive.
You know, I let's talk about that for a minute, because I, early in my career, I was the spokesperson for North America for the International Olive Oil Council. And believe me, I'm very happy to have done that work because I had to learn a lot about it. I remember the first talk I gave for the International Olive Oil Council was in New York City, and Paula Wolfert was in the audience. And of course, at the time, she had written the legendary Mediterranean Cooking, and she really knew about those ingredients. And afterwards, I went up to her and I said, did I do everything right? And she said, on the button, which to me was a very big deal. She's still here in our community in Sonoma County. You've probably read about her battle with Alzheimer's and how she has had to change her diet intensively, but she has been an advocate. I mean, what's wonderful is that we embrace as we learn things, even if it's a challenge to our very being, to our very lives, particularly food people, really do embrace the realities of their lives and try to share the best of what they have. And I've only ever been a spokesperson for a couple of different things that I felt absolutely passionate about. California milk marketing support of artisan cheeses, Olive Oil Council, the Walnut Council. I'm happy to eat those things anytime, any place. And now you're teaching people, which is really what cooking in demonstrations around the world is all about, teaching people, sharing with people how good a properly raised, a good heirloom tomato that's put properly into a can. You know what they say, quality in, quality out. Of course, the opposite is garbage in, garbage out. And that's why we don't eat Cheetos. But tell us about the whole trajectory. How does the support for European tomatoes work?
Well, okay. How does the what work in the?
How does the European Tomato Collective? Is it a collective? Is it a marketing board?
Okay. So what? Yeah, Europe has a lot of products, and they're marketing various iconic products from Europe. You know, Europe has so many really wonderful artisanal products. And so this is really an educational thing. It's not about any one brand.
Yeah.
It's about every brand, every tomato that's canned. And by the way, they call it preserved.
Yeah.
Which sounds so much nicer than canned.
It does. Well, all right. I like when that happens. So you're yeah. are you on a world tour? Where do you go next?
Well, you know, I'm actually not on a world tour, but every so often something comes up and they're like here and I'm like maybe I can be there and I'm like, yeah, just okay. I'll be there.
Yeah, you know,
let's cook with tomatoes tomorrow. Yeah. I'm in Sonoma.
Yeah, we're going to miss each other. I'm going to be leaving.
I know.
Well, what you're going to
I know I'm having a tomato party and we're just going to cook. We're making three fabulous dishes using the European tomatoes, and I'm so sad that you're not going to be there.
But our friend Kathleen.
Kathleen Hill.
Kathleen Hill.
At her house.
Right in Sonoma.
It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, listen. When we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk about the other travels of Marlena. We're going to talk about how many places you went in Korea, what the heck, and where were you in China, and what's this about you going to India? We're going to talk about the winter love of savory and a little bit sweet tomato dishes. I had meatballs and tomato sauce last night. I want it again tonight. Come right back here at the table. We are back at the table, and I'm once again talking to my friend Marlena Spieler. She is at Purcell Murray in the south of San Francisco. It's actually South San Francisco. It's a wonderful showroom for great quality cookery items, great ovens, all those gorgeous things.
Oh, wait. People are walking by.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. You're in real...
Happy customers are walking by.
Hey, that's okay. We're in the real world. It's okay. And we're actually on a landline, ladies and gentlemen. They still exist. There's just four of them. They're all connected. Right? What did they call that? A party line. When I was a kid growing up in Southern California, we had a party line. I could find out what that lady across the street was talking about. Anyway, what we're talking about...
I remember a party line, too.
Yeah, in Sacramento?
Yep.
So you are going to India if you gather enough group people. So you're putting together a trip. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's a trip to North India, and the itinerary is amazing. It's fantastic. Please come visit me on Facebook. Why not Facebook, but also Twitter or whatever, or just get in touch. Because the itinerary is more than I can get into, but it's going to be a great mix of cooking with, you know, home cooks, of, you know, really high-end, exciting, you know, cutting-edge restaurant, and marketplaces, and, of course, we'll see the Taj Mahal.
Of course.
And I have a few friends opening restaurant. It's going to be really amazing.
So, and about how many days is it? And can people come from anywhere in the world and meet you somewhere? How does that work?
Yeah, anywhere. We're going to be meeting in Delhi.
Yeah.
And I think it's late March. So we got to get it going pretty soon. So it's, yeah, late March. The weather should be really nice. And we'll meet in Delhi. I think it's about a week.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful.
I wish you could come, Clark. It's going to be so good.
Marlena Spieler on Facebook. Is that right? Spell it.
Yeah, so I have a bunch of pages on Facebook, but I'll be posting about it on all of them.
All right, but tell me what some of them are so we can look it up. Tell us, everybody.
Oh, Marlena Spieler.
Spell it.
Marlena, MarlenaSpieler.
That's I before E, except after C. So it's Spieler, right? We got to do that.
And so, I before E when it's a Spieler.
And by the way, you know, Spieler really does, it means storyteller, right?
Yes, it does.
Right?
appropriate.
She's got a spiel. Folks may not remember, although if they were awake, they do, that for a number of wonderful years in the San Francisco Chronicle, you had a column called The Roving Feast. And I always think of that you ought to have the Roving Feast ought to be a name that you get to keep forever, because wherever you go, really, it is a special occasion. You do love to take the culture, the people, the foods, and bring them together in ways that are life enriching, no matter what. I love the idea. And again, at first I was like, so Marlena's going to, you live outside of London. Tell people where you live and how that all works and how much you travel.
I live in Waterlooville, which you probably haven't heard of, but it's between Portsmouth and Petersfield. But I want to say I travel a lot. I was just in Budapest a week or two before Korea. But traveling has really set me free and expanded my world, and, you know, as it does for all of us if we're open.
Yep.
But the best thing, I think just one of the most, well, besides Naples and Italy, was I discovered just this whole inner life in China.
Yeah.
And I go there every summer.
Wow.
And they love tomatoes. Oh, my God, they love tomatoes. And also they love pizza.
Yeah.
And they love spaghetti with tomatoes.
Yeah.
And they love a lot of Chinese dishes with tomatoes, both fresh and canned.
What parts of China do you go to? Because, you know, it's a big place. China's huge.
China is huge. And each area has its own regional cooking, as well as, you know, sort of overall things. But I tend to go to an area called Yantai in Shandong, which is right across the water from Korea. And I've just become part of, like, the gourmand family.
I love that.
Which holds a bit. It's so nice. They tell me I coined the name, and if so, then I'm really, really happy about it because, again, it's a way of people who might have been, you know, just sort of wandering around in the, you know, culinary emptiness of connecting.
Yeah. Sharing. Yeah.
Culinary diplomacy. I mean, sometimes there's like the people from Peru will make a big, or Argentina will have a big barbecue. And there's just, you know, the people from Persia will make, once this guy from Azerbaijan brought a huge plov. A plov, and he froze it. He made it night before, froze it.
What is it? What is it?
Hold
on. Explain to everybody what that is.
Okay, plov. Plov is, it's like pilaf,
yeah.
But it's you know, sort of like Near Eastern, a lot of the, you know, Bukhara, and just a lot of these sort of, what area we say. But anyway, so plov. And it's rice, and it's usually cooked with lamb fat,
right.
And with a lot of lamb, and with whole heads of garlic, and with carrots and spices. And it's so, you know, this guy puts it in a suitcase and travels with it. I tasted it; it was delicious.
Right.
But you're talking to me, who has, you know, I've traveled with a whole lasagna to Italy.
Yeah, you've traveled with a whole pilfered bag, a collection of lemons off of trees that you've gathered. You've traveled with cheeses in your stockings. We're talking to Marlene Spieler, the roving feast that she is, and you're telling us about how it is a very Bay Area thing that has spread to the world. I've often said this, that a lot happens in Northern California that has an influence so far beyond that notion. That used to be very small in New York and in San Francisco, this connection of people who really cared about food and really loved it and shared it with each other. And it's always been somewhat prevalent or present in various cultures around the world. But the connection of those two, of all those pieces, takes a combination of media, people going and learning and writing, but also individuals, people with a big heart like yourself who will go and share and be on a regular basis at the table with people who you get to know over time and you go back to and you visit again and again and you share new discoveries with. I like that you said it was the gourmand family. Again, people should understand a gourmet is a very discerning person who decides what's what, and how it's kind of more connoisseurship. And a gourmand, the nice definition is somebody who really loves to eat. The not as nice definition is somebody who likes to eat at a trough, right? Or who will eat anything.
I think of it as sort of the anti-elitist gourmet.
Yeah.
You know, you taste, you appreciate, you share. And, I mean, It's, you know, people say, oh, elitist. Well, you know what? That's just, and culinary appropriation, all this stuff. No, we need to share. We need to appreciate.
Yeah, you're
and we need to listen to people's stories when they give you a plate of whatever it is. Yeah,
That they grew up with. All right, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the holidays. I mean, it's a time when we think and talk and share with about food a great deal. But I love the idea. One of my favorite restaurants here, and I keep plugging them because I adore them, Backyard, has had a Bib Gourmand from Michelin. And that means it's a good value for really delicious food. As you say, it's that kind of anti-elitist, not cheap, not junk food, but really good and really valuable, like everything Marlena cooks and shares at the table. We'll be right back with more. We are back at the table. I'm talking to Marlena Spieler. I'm Clark Wolf. What was that recipe where you defrost a lamb chop in your purse on the subway? I can't remember what that was. But if there is such a recipe, Marlena wrote it because she can defrost more things in her purse than anybody I know. Marlena, you're traveling around the world and sharing the joys of, among other things, European tomatoes. This time of year, holiday season, really is a good time for leftovers. And I have to say, marinara, a good tomato sauce, just right out of the can, chopped up, warmed in a pan with a little bit of this and that, goes on top of almost everything, doesn't it?
It is. And I'm going to tell you what to do, okay?
Okay.
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 You just open that can of European preserved tomatoes, and they also have little tiny pomodorini,
ooh,
which we don't have in California, and those are just so good. They're all really good. So you open however many cans you want to. Okay. Okay. So in a big pot, a little garlic crushed or sliced in a big piece in case you want to take it out, olive oil, a tiny sprinkle of red chili flake, and then you take the individual tomatoes in your hands. This is the way the nonna does it, the Italian grandmother.
Yeah.
This way, any throughout Europe, they're going to be doing like this. You take in, you grab the tomato, you squish it in your hand into the pan.
Yeah.
And you just do that until all the tomatoes are squished and cooked down a bit, and then you add the liquid. You know, maybe cook 10 minutes, 15 at the most. And that is the most beautiful marinara, which you can add. Okay, you can add dried oregano is really good. Fresh basil leaves, of course, or wonderful black pepper. And, you know, if you have leftover fish, which I did this for Thanksgiving, I had leftover fish, don't ask. Most people have turkey, but I had fish.
Okay.
And it was so good, just warmed through in this tomato. Ah, so good. And pretty much anything. And this time of year, of course, you know, you want to sort of get away from the really super rich food. Maybe you just want to throw a bunch of peas in and eat it with a fried egg.
Yeah.
And that's like kind of a Greek tomato special dish from the grandma's.
All right. So I got to tell you what I do. And that is that I will do a really simple tomato sauce, as you say, just the tomatoes from the can and a little bit of garlic, olive oil, a little bit of herbs, pepper. You don't really need salt because the tomatoes have some. And I tend to love to get a ripe avocado and I cut it up and put it on the plate. And then I do three eggs over easy. And I put in olive oil in a little pan, in extra virgin olive oil. I flip that over onto the avocados to warm them. And I'll grate a little local hard cheese or semi-soft cheese underneath that. And then cover the whole thing with a warmed tomato sauce. First of all, it's gorgeous. And second of all, it's every single course of a meal you could possibly want. And it just makes you happy. It's just such a beautiful plate of food.
So, and you know what? These dishes make you happy, and they make you happy because they're delicious, but also because you just instinctively know they're good for you. You instinctively know, even if you're making it for yourself, you know it's being made with love.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they say also, and again, I'm not a registered dietitian. I'm not a scientist, but I've read a lot that says that tomatoes have some of their most valuable health properties come forward in the cooking of them, that actually cooked tomatoes are very good.
Yeah.
I'm told they're particularly good for gentlemen and for the gentleman parts.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of research being done and, you know, still being done. And that is so true. And I believe we have on the greatest tomatoes from Europe. That's the website.
I love that.
I know. I love it too. The greatest tomatoes from Europe. So, you know, there is scientific various, you know, informations there. And I if not, they should put some more on, because there's one specific study that was recently done about the concentration of, what's the word? But anyhow, this concentration of the ingredient in tomatoes, that's just so good for you. And so, how can I say, you know, quote unquote, cancer preventative. So I'm, you know, I'm not a researcher. I don't know, but they're doing a lot of research in it. And well, it's the cooking which concentrates it. And it's the cooking also, when something's canned, it's cooked to specific requirements.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I like about one of the things I do like about the European Union and how they deal with certain of their iconic foods is that they really market them together. Folks, you should understand that Marlena is talking about tomatoes from all over Europe, and she's the author of a book about food of Naples. So this is a really big deal for somebody who is passionate about the Naples and about all the wonderful food of that area, the pizzas, the pastas, the tomatoes, oh my gosh, hanging, drying on ristras under the eaves in the latter part of at the late end of the summer, early part of the fall, so that they can dry and intensify. I mean, we've shared them together in Naples, in Campania, absolutely amazing. But to understand that, I mean, we also in this country, you know, tomatoes are one of the great shared food products. They came, they started out as little pear-shaped yellow fruits that, because they were in Central and North America or in the Americas, Europeans wouldn't eat them because they looked like a poison berry from Europe. But little by little, they were developed. And of course, let's be honest, when you talk about authentic Italian food, you have to really tell everybody which Italian you're talking to, because there's a lot of discussion about the very big specifics. But one thing that's universal is they want it to be delicious, and they want to preserve it. They want to share it. They want to celebrate it. They want to respect it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the absolute core of Italian food and of Greek food and of, you know, people who are sincere about their food lives. I mean, and I love seeing the links, you know, in Korea, in China, in, you know, Hong Kong, and all of these places that I'm in, you know, Hungary, and all these places I've been in the last few months. And I'm really more than respectful. I'm like so grateful. It's like, and I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful that we all have this ability.
Yeah.
You know, we have this ability to enjoy these foods. And I have to say, I also love pickles.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pickles in the next segment. I love the fact that we get to focus once in a while in this very farmy region on put up or preserved foods, because if they're raised right and if they're preserved right, you know, they get us through the winter. It's called winter squash, not because it grows in the winter, but because it, when it's harvested, can get us through the winter. And a little can of tomatoes wouldn't hurt either. We'll be right back at the table. We're back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm here, well, not here, I'm on the phone with Marlena Spieler. She is the tomato princess of the universe. Actually, I think empress. I think we need to have a little tiara. You know, The Crown is playing on Netflix, and I think you would look good in something highly adorned.
I think from now on, I'm only going to cook tomatoes when I wear my tiara.
Well, you know, don't leave home without it. I always say that I come from a kind of a fancy and a kind of a blue collar background, so I sweep the floor with my tiara on. and you know, I mean, the thing about tomatoes is that, and you talked about gourmets and gourmands, and high and low. And I think that, first of all, there's nothing wrong with excellence. There's nothing wrong with refinement. In fact, it's precious to us. When it's used competitively and to make people feel bad, I don't like that a lot. And I've had the good fortune to work as a consultant with many, and a good number of very successful people. I mean, you could call them, you know, I was counting the other day, I've worked with at least 9 billionaires. And one of the things that seems to be very common with people who have the ability to have whatever they want is that they really love delicious, simple food. They want roast chicken and mashed potatoes. They want a simple summer salad with everything just out of the earth. A while ago, there was a big article a couple years ago in the New York Times that I was glad of the article, but I couldn't really understand the viewpoint of the writer or the editor. They were bemoaning the fact that these rich people in the Hamptons were having, instead of another Bentley, they were planting a farm garden, and if there was leftovers, they were giving it to the staff, like that was some kind of silly elitist thing. I mean, what could be better than having a victory garden and sharing it with the people you work with, right? I mean, what's wrong with these people? That was a good idea.
People just get so weird about things like that.
Right.
When really we should all be, and also people get weird about, oh, well, you're poor, so you should be getting your food at a food bank and you shouldn't be enjoying it. And it shouldn't, you know, I had an argument with a food writer who was like, only poor people should be, foraging.
Yeah, well, all right, let me talk about that. First of all, you know, being in Sonoma County, and we're recording this on a day that is a dine out for life, which is where we share a lot in the community with people who are struggling. And I have to say that there is a food bank here, and much of the food, and certainly face-to-face food for humans, is food for thought, I think it's called, is filled with really fresh farm goods, because people who are struggling need better food, not worse food.
Yes.
They need more nutritious, fresher food. And we do that a lot in this community. We have groups like Ceres, where the junior and senior high school kids get taught to learn and actually to garden, to farm garden, and cook for people who are struggling with life-threatening diseases. And what we try to do is give them the best possible food that we can, because as we know, if you want to recover and get strong and be able to make a good contribution to your community and to your own life, you need something good to eat. And I know that, Marlena, for you, it's always got to have a little tomato involved. Yeah.
You know, we all need beautiful food, and we all need to be fed really well, and we all need to feel that we're worth feeding.
Yeah.
And we all need to feel the joy in, like, celebrating wonderful food. And I think sometimes with the whole political thing, people get a little bit confused. But, yeah, it's like, you know, you're short on money and life is a real struggle. You need better food. You need not only better food, you need a lot of joy on your plate. And You do.
You know, what's interesting.
We all do.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is I love the idea. I love community gardens, and I think anybody in the community should be able to be involved in a community garden. I almost feel like, and this used to be a thing in small towns where it was usually at the church, there ought to be community kitchens. In the little town of Guerneville, which is near to where I live about 2 miles past it up a hill, but in the little, what they do historically, and we just did it, is the day before Thanksgiving, we have a town Thanksgiving meal, so that everybody, rich and poor, it's all donated from the local people and the local communities, and we serve each other, and everybody has a holiday meal together to remind us that we are in this together, that no matter what, it's not them and us, it's all of us, and everything we do in life has an impact on others, specifically how we raise our food, how we take care of our food, how we share our food. These are important things. I'm glad people are arguing about it. I'm glad they're talking about it. They just need to, maintain a certain heartfelt generosity, because that really does have to be at the basis of all of it. What did you...
Generosity and hospitality.
Yeah, they go together.
And it's so important, you know?
Well, I know that in the coming next holiday, you'll be celebrating a little Hanukkah overlapping Christmas this year. I know you'll find a way to have classic Hanukkah dishes with not only tomatoes, but with a little Christmas tree at the side, because you're all inclusive. Every holiday is to be celebrated. It's the middle of the winter. We need to get together and try to help each other be in a good mood. All right. We have one more little segment after this. And during that, I want you to give us three tips on how to work with, how to enjoy preserved tomatoes from Europe in the winter months. Three little tips, maybe a soup, maybe a sauté, maybe a main course. And it doesn't matter. I'm giving you a moment to think about this. Not that you don't have an encyclopedia of good cooking in your head, because you've written 75 books. This woman has written and given us so much. So come right back to hear from Marlena Spieler about preserving yourself with tomatoes that are thoughtfully preserved at the table. We're back at the table. I'm Clark Wolf. I'm here with Marlena Spieler. Well, I'm not here. We're on the phone. She's at Purcell Murray. It's in the south of San Francisco. They have lots of incredible stoves and ovens and just beautiful kitchen things. And they were just hosting, and you guys all have to go out and get it. They were just hosting a party of the launch of the new Joy of Cooking edition, which I have to tell you, I have in my apartment in New York City. It is the size of an end table. It is cardio just to walk around the apartment with it. Marlena, real quick, three smart tips for preserved tomatoes from Europe that you can use all winter long. Go.
Okay. So first of all, you want to make that marinara sauce set pretty regularly.
Yep.
It's like a detox. Every so often it's like, I need spaghetti with tomato sauce, no cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, that's just totally, a holiday season detox. So you got to do that. But of course, you can also add, you know, shrimp. You can add everything to it. You've got to make meatballs.
Yes.
You know, it's winter. Yeah. You got to make meatballs. You just got to make meatballs, and you can make them out of meat or chicken or turkey or fish.
Yep.
So there's that. And the other thing that's really, really just so yummy, delicious. I'm sorry for using the word yummy. But
no.
Anyway, you want to make a soup. You want to make a big, you know, it's the winter. You want to take maybe your leftover turkey stock. I did this the other day.
Yep.
And the European canned tomatoes,
yep,
a little garlic, anything like peas or beans or anything kind of hearty.
Right.
About half tomatoes in coarse big chunks and half stock, and you want to throw that pasta in. I use DiMartino pasta mista. Throw the pasta in, cook it till it's just done. Serve it with basil, a grated cheese. We're making this tomorrow. I'm having a tomato party.
I think you should send some over FedEx. So before we lose you again to the road, it's Marlena Spieler, I before E, and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Reddit and let's see what else, Snapchat. No, I don't know. And you're going to...
No, I don't do Snapchat,
no.
But I do Twitter.
All right. And you're going...
You can just listen to me. Art, you can come argue with me.
There you go. And then you're going to India in March, which is a wonderful holiday season for them. So it'll be colorful and gorgeous.
Oh, we have this... the holiday is called Holi or Holi, H-O-L-I, and it's colorful and it's beautiful. It's a great celebration. I can just hardly wait. I'm so excited.
And before I let you go, the name of your book about Naples is...
A Taste of Naples.
Yeah, it's absolutely available everywhere where good tasting books are sold. All right, Marlena Spieler, get back on the road.
You can get it at
Omnivore Books on Food. You can get it at Copperfields. You can get it, get it on Amazon, but don't have it delivered. Go to the Amazon warehouse and pick it up. No, I'm kidding. Maybe, you know, they ought to have a cookbook section at Whole Foods. What's wrong with these people? Marlena, have a wonderful holiday, a wonderful new year. Next year, you're coming into the studio to be right here with me at the table.